Reading first this morning from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, the first two verses. But now, says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched in flame. Won't burn you. This, friends, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And reading the familiar story, reading from Luke 3, beginning with verse 15. The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Christ. John replied to them all, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husk with a fire that can't be put out. When everyone was being baptized, Jesus also was baptized. While he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit came down on him in bodily form like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven. You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you, I find happiness. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes, our minds, our hearts, our spirits to receive your spirit and all that you have for us this day. Minister to us in your love and in your power. Give each of us and minister to each of us as we have need. And we give thanks and praise. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, friends, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. A little girl had been in Sunday school, and she had heard the teacher as she read this story of the baptism of Jesus. One day she and her family were on vacation along the coast when suddenly a seagull dropped on the hood of the car and she exclaimed, it's the Holy Spirit come in the form of a dove. Okay, she didn't have her biology down quite right in her descriptions, but she had been paying some attention, hadn't she? She had realized what the scriptures had to say, and it had taken some lodging within her heart, even though she may not fully have understood what she had heard. As we mentioned to the children, this is the second Sunday of a new year. And traditionally, the second Sunday has been the recognition of the baptism of the Lord. And we have joined with Christians everywhere in reaffirming our baptism, of refreshing our vows, if you will, of recommitting ourselves anew to the Christ who loves us, to the gift that has been given us by the grace of God, and called to live lives that are different from the world, different from the direction that the world would have us to go. Usually when we think of the act of baptism, we think of children, which we do baptize children. And the parents or sponsors take the vows and promise to help them to come to that point where they will confirm those vows for themselves and become professing members of the church. But even at the point of their baptism and of someone else taking those vows in their behalf, they are received as baptized members. They are recognized as a part of the kingdom of God, with the hope that they will be ever more fully a part of that kingdom. Jesus was baptized. John was there baptizing, preaching a gospel of repentance, proclaiming a new life. You see, proselytes to Judaism were baptized, and it was their old way of life that was removed with the waters of baptism, and they became Jewish in spite of being Gentiles. And here, John is proclaiming that there's something more than being Jewish. There's something more than following the law. There's something more than this, and something that involves a life that is yielded and committed to the Lord God. And he was baptizing Jews, unheard of, declaring the need for transformation of heart, of life, of souls, of everyone. That all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Paul reminds us. Well, John was getting at it. He was a little bit more brusque about it. He was a little more fiery than Paul, but he was getting his point across. That we all need to repent. We all need God's forgiveness. We have all sinned. We've all messed up. And that God desires something else for us. And Jesus has led us into the waters of baptism. He was baptized not because of his need, but because of ours. In one of his books, Max Lucado tells of a missionary in Brazil. And he has come to this tribe, and there is great illness. There's a hospital just across the river, but The people believe that evil spirits inhabit that river, and so they refuse to go across that river for the help that they so desperately need. He says, finally, the missionary stepped into the water and nothing happened. He stepped on out about waist deep, splashed the water over his face, and still the people were unconvinced. And so finally he dove into the waters and swam beneath the surface to the other side, at which point he came out, raised a triumphant fist, and the people shouted on the other side and followed him for the help that they needed. That's what Jesus has done for us. We ones in need of baptism. We are the ones in need of the change, of the transformation that God desires for us. A young boy had come to his pastor one day, and he had requested baptism. Do you think it would be okay if I were baptized? And so this pastor was talking to him and asked him why he wanted to be baptized. And he said, well, his Sunday school teacher had asked who had been baptized and said everyone else's hand in the room went up except for mine. At which point the pastor said, now, let me get this straight. Do you want to be baptized just because you want to be like everybody else? And he said, oh, no. Oh, no. I want to be baptized because I want to be the person that Jesus wants me to be. I want to be the person that God calls me to be. At which point the pastor said, well, we can do it next Sunday in the service. Well, he was a shy child, and so he says, do we have to do it in church in front of people? Said, can't I just have a friend do it? And said, after all, Jesus had his cousin baptize him. Well, the pastor thought, okay, I've got a teaching opportunity here. And she said, but how will the church affirm and recognize your baptism if somebody else does it? And he thought a moment and he says, well, I guess they'll recognize it because of my change of behavior, of the way that I live. At which point the pastor knew that he knew what he was talking about. He was on the right track, even though he still needed a little more. And that public profession that we are called for. Some people experience dramatic changes. Others, well, not quite as much. For many of us, it's more gradual. Both are valid. In the movie Tender Mercies, actor Robert Duvall was playing a down-on-his-luck country singer, Mac. And Mac had befriended the son of a young widow woman who was helping him get his life straightened out. And so Mac and Sonny, as the young man was called, were baptized one day. And as they're going along, Sonny says, "Mac, do you feel any different? People said that I would be different after I was baptized. I don't feel any different. Do you feel any different?" To which Mac replied, "Not yet." He says, "Well, you don't look any different. Do I look any different to you, Mac?" And Mac replied, "Not yet." But that expectation is there for the person in Christ Jesus, that God is at work lifting us, raising us, strengthening us, providing for us to help us to come into the people that God is calling us to be. As Pastor Jim Harnish has reminded us in one of our studies, that God loves us just the way we are. But God also loves us far too much to leave us there. That God wants us to become all that we can be. God wants us to be strengthened and to be formed ever more fully into the image of Christ, and to become daily more and more like Him. The Holy Spirit affirmed the baptism of Jesus. A voice, the voice of God, the Father, affirmed the baptism of Jesus. And Isaiah declares the affirmation of God upon Israel, upon all who belong to the Lord God, that I am with you. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what you face, regardless of what you may go through, that you belong to me. I will be with you in the middle of it all. You are not alone in all of the things that you face. This loving God walks with us and walks within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. As Paul would put it, being transformed from one degree of glory into another, of becoming ever more like Jesus. This morning, we are going to reaffirm our baptism. We're going to be installing the officers of the church for this new year. But we know that God has called us all to the ministry of all believers. That all of us are called to be the vessels of God. All of us are called to minister to the needs and the cares of others. All of us are called to grow into the people that God is calling us to become. God is desiring that we be changed ever more completely. As Wesley would put it, sanctification. We're not there yet. But by the grace of God, we're on our way. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love, for your call upon us. Minister to us, O Lord, that we would indeed be transformed, that our actions, our thoughts, our lives would be ever more fully guided by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' matchless name. Amen.